side. I know I'll be alone tonight, but that's alright. That's alright with me. I need my space, I need my time, and I'm trying to get you out of my mind. I hope that'll happen someday. She's got a hook in me. I'm trying to get free. She won't let go of me. It's killing me. She's got a hook in me. I'm trying to get free. Trying to find some peace of mind. Scrolling through pictures at 5:30. It's hard. You seem to sneak your way back in and catch me off guard. Got a hook in me. I'm trying to get free. She won't let go of me. It's killing me. She's got a hook in me. I'm trying to get free. She found me by the riverside. I told her I need to be alone tonight. It's gonna be alright. I need my space, I need my time, and I'm trying to get you out of my mind. Happen someday. She's got a hook in me. I'm trying to get free. She won't let go of me. It's killing me. She's got a hook in me. I'm trying to get free.
You just heard, in order, Golden State, Lessons from Lucy, Bleach Blonde, and finally, Hooks. All written and performed by the lovely Duncan Clark. Now, after all that, there's really no denying the overflowing talent under the radar here at UBC. And we all have a voice. Sometimes we can use our voice to amplify those of others. Well, this has been Vivian at CITR telling you to try something new, write a song, eat a kiwi with the skin intact. Don't knock it till you try it. Seriously. Anyway, till next time. Peace.
Hello and welcome to For the Record, which is a podcast made by Blank Vinyl Project, a club here at UBC for musicians and music lovers. My name is Nick, and I'm joined with my friend Aiden, who I do this podcast with, and our guest today is another friend of mine, a friend of ours, I should say, Ryder McGinnis. Ryder, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Real quick, I'm just going to do a land acknowledgement. It is important for us to constantly reflect on the fact that the land, we as, UBC students and also people who live in Vancouver, each occupy, was not once stolen by settlers, but rather is continuously stolen. In a way, it is used by non-Indigenous people, and that our government continuously infringes on the legal rights of the Indigenous communities. So this means that it is our responsibility as a generation and organization to acknowledge the injustices our ancestors ignored and be better allies to people experiencing oppression in the spaces we occupy. This means taking every opportunity we can to advocate for issues that are silenced, and more importantly, prioritize uplifting and making space for other voices. So with that being said, I'm going to introduce what BVP is, Blank Vinyl Project. So Blank Vinyl Project is a student-run organization that is committed to growing the live music community at UBC. We do this by providing support for musicians on campus and hosting events centered around music. Whether you're looking to perform, book an artist, or simply meet like-minded people, we can help. I mentioned before that the three of us are friends. This isn't like an interview between two strangers. The three of us, actually, Ryder, you used to be part of this club, Blank Vinyl Project.
I did, yeah. Super grateful to BVP. Yeah. Was an exec for a couple of years and kind of helped me start out my musical journey.
Yeah, you just graduated from UBC in August, is that right?
Actually, technically, my graduation is on Wednesday.
Okay.
Which is when I properly graduate, but yeah. I finished my last thing in August.
Yeah, you're chilling now, hey? You're vibing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Aiden and I are currently UBC students, just for context. But
we are online right. UBC students for sure.
Yeah.
Grinding away.
Ryder, how has COVID been for you?
COVID has been up and down, man. I mean, I think for a lot of us, it's been pretty challenging. But I think the best thing that happened to me during COVID was I was able to go back to working at the golf course and just have like a crew of people that I see every day. Mm-hmm. And obviously very responsible with their social distancing and everything. But it's yeah. just really good.
What golf course are you working at right now?
It's Point Grey Golf and Country Club. Really nice, really fancy private course.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I'd imagine that's a good job to have during COVID because you're working outdoors. And I mean, I would also imagine you're not like too close to your coworkers. Like a golf course is a pretty wide open space. So
yeah, for sure. Even if we're working in close quarters, which sometimes happens, we're wearing masks and just being safe.
Nice.
But it's been really good for me.
Yeah. But you're not just a golf course work maintenance guy. You're also a musician, which is why
we have
you on. You actually just released some music on Spotify. Your first releases recently. So that's definitely something that we're here to talk about.
Cool.
So we have questions about that for sure. But before we get into that, I think Aiden has just some more general questions for you.
Yeah, sure. I was just kind of wondering some questions about your life, my guy.
Yeah.
What do you miss about UBC? Like, what do you miss about going to campus every day and
the student life?
Dude, you know what I miss is like towards the last like couple years of my degree, walking around campus, I never went from A to B without running into somebody that I know. And like that's super fun, even if it's just to wave and be like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" or like to stop and chat.
Yeah. You know,
that's really cool. And also about like being graduated now. It's kind of crazy that it feels like that's not really going to happen anymore because the world is so much bigger than a university campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, and like,
yeah.
How has COVID affected your like music that you make, you know?
Well, the two songs that I released recently were both kind of inspired by COVID, just in terms of responding to the space between people. and being lonely and whatever. But COVID's also been like a huge opportunity, because I took this chance to like really start working on my voice and developing that as an instrument, and then also just playing tons of guitar and hopefully improving a bit in that department as well.
Mm-hmm. I guess being like out of school probably lets you work on your instruments more and make music more than you would regularly, you know?
Yeah, that's the idea.
I'm curious, have you noticed a difference in the style, or maybe like the theme of your music, like pre and post COVID? Like, for example, before COVID, were you writing more like heavy rock, and now it's more like ballad stuff or something like that?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I've been on a huge piano dive right now. So like, mm-hmm. Probably half the time when I'm playing an instrument, I'm playing piano. So that definitely changes how I approach my songwriting and stuff. But also, mm-hmm. like before COVID and we were playing with the band, like typically I'm writing a song and I'm imagining it being backed by a full rock band, and it's going to be a lot higher energy. And
yeah. And maybe for context, for people listening, Ryder and I are in a band together. He plays guitar and sings, and I play the drums.
Yeah. Christ Almighty.
What's your guys' favorite venue, like music venue? Mm-hmm. Like, you guys have played it quite a bit in Vancouver. A lot of people are saying how much they miss going to music venues. Like, even if the artist is like shit, like they love going to music venues. And what do you guys miss about playing there and going out into that scene?
Ryder, you go first.
Oh, I was just okay. My favorite music venue, I think, is we've played a lot of like really fun, like high energy shows in small venues like the Cheese Inn and the Railway. And those are always fun because a small crowd can feel really big. But when I write like a song that I really like and I'm imagining it being played with the band, I usually imagine playing it at the Roxy. So that would be probably my answer.
Mm. And what do you miss what do you miss about live shows? You said what your favorite venue is, but
I love performing. Like, I feel like I'm a totally different person on stage. So I really miss being in that headspace.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a thrill. And my mood is always so much better after a show.
Yeah.
What about you?
So actually, my favorite venue is not the Roxy. I prefer venues where the band is on the same level as as the crowd. Because then it feels like more interactive, if that makes sense. When we're on stage at the Roxy, I feel like the stage is like a little barrier, kind of separates us.
I feel that.
So with that in mind, I think one of my favorite venues would be the Railway.
The Railway. That was a lot of fun, that show.
Yeah. And what I miss about playing live shows is kind of like the pre-show hangout with the band.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about like, what are you guys' favorite venues to go see an artist?
Commodore.
That's what I was going to say. Commodore is supreme in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've actually never seen somebody at the Commodore.
So wait, then Ryder, what's your favorite venue to go see a performance?
I think maybe like the Fox Cabaret.
That's a good one.
It looks like a nice stage, and like I don't know, I've seen some pretty cool stuff there.
Mm-hmm. You can dance on the stage there at the Fox.
On certain nights.
I've danced on a couple nights there.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that though.
Nice. Here, I'll throw a question at you.
All right.
I'm going off of Aiden's list here, but what interests you besides music? So I know you used to be really into swimming. You were actually on the varsity swim team at UBC. So, but maybe even besides those two things, music and swimming, like what interests you?
Yeah, that's, let me think for a second. I mean, music is the one that always like kind of comes to the forefront when I'm thinking about like my interests and stuff. But, yeah, I grew up swimming. I swam for a long time at a decently high level. And so I've always been pretty like athletic. So I like doing, I like playing golf now. Mm-hmm. Been getting into golf. Nice. You know, I enjoy working out and like feeling strong. Mm-hmm. But you know, primarily I think of myself as like a writer. So aside from music, I write a lot of poetry. I write a lot of prose. That's often like a good way. If I'm stuck writing music, I can go and I can just switch to something else. Just to keep the creativity going, even if I can't get a melody together or something.
I liked your little poem about Miley Cyrus that you posted the other day.
Yeah, thanks.
That was good.
I was really stoked about that one. I was thinking about it all day.
Yeah, you're a big Miley Cyrus fan, eh?
I am, unapologetically.
Yeah,
I think Miley Cyrus is my sexual awakening. That sounds weird as an adult to say, but like when I was 12, 13 years old, Party in the USA. Oh my God. That song went off. That song went off.
You know, it's so funny because it's so similar to me, man. Like same age, same song.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
That music video was way too hot for kids. Way too hot.
Yeah. And I don't know. actually, I wanted to ask you, Ryder, you made a decision kind of a couple years ago to pay less attention to swimming and really focus on music. And I was wondering what that decision was like, if it was a hard decision, especially because you kind of went so far with swimming, like most people. I mean, you went to university level and some of the people you swam with went to the Olympics, right? So
yeah.
I was just curious if that was a tough decision or if it was an easy one.
Yeah, for sure. That decision for me was like it was a total like overhaul for my identity and like what I do, because up to that point, swimming is such a time intensive sport. Like I was spending 20 to 25 hours a week training.
Mm-hmm.
So spending all that time and also going to school, really those are the only two things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just came to the point where I decided that if I wasn't 100% invested in swimming, that's a lot of time to be putting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, really interested in kind of developing as a musician and seeing the other sights, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to do it.
And yeah.
Really happy I made the decision. I also, I made the decision about 3 months before I finally finished swimming,
mm-hmm.
which was good because that gave me a chance to work really hard for those last 3 months and then end on performances that I was proud of.
Yeah.
And just ready to dive into a new pursuit.
Let's take the conversation back to music for a sec. Maybe we'll play one of the songs for that you just released, Ryder. So you just released two songs on mm-hmm. Spotify. Do you want to introduce one of them, talk about like pick which one you want us to play?
Yeah, sure. I maybe we'll just kind of go in order of how they are on the release. So it's essentially like a single and a B-side, and the single is called Yours for a Short Time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like my folky singer songwriter side coming out, and yeah, that's maybe all I'll say for right now.
Okay, sweet. So this is Yours for a Short Time by Ryder J.
Do you see me? Do you see? I'm as naked as they come. Wish I knew, I wish I knew. I'm trying to meet you. Would you gently kiss my lips and hold me while the world goes to shit? I could be yours for a short time. I could be yours, I could be yours. I could be yours for a short time. I could be yours, I wanna be yours for a while.
Wow, what a great song.
That was an incredible song.
You know,
thank you.
One thing that stands out to me when I hear that is the drumming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, everything is great in that song, but the drumming, oh my.
Oh, for sure. And you know, the drummer that I recruited to to play on the release, he had to put up with some real just like tragic timing from on my end, because we didn't do the drums first or anything, so it wasn't on the click, and he had to just kind of vibe with it and do it on the fly, and he did an excellent job. So for context, Nick here, he was drumming on the
that was me playing the drums. So I was just
actually around. If I thought the drums were the most lackluster part of the song, I thought everything else was really, really, really good, but the drums were just not quite there, you know.
That's a hot take, man. So yeah, actually, speaking of hot takes, we have a question we always like to ask our guests. Aiden, do you want to ask it?
Let's go. This is my favorite question.
And remember, this is being played on radio, so you can't drop any F-bombs.
Okay.
That's good to know. let's do
music that you're messing with.
Music that you're messing with and music that you're not messing with.
Yeah.
Artists or albums or anything.
What do you mean by that? Messing with as in like stuff I like, or like I'm trying out?
If you could replace the word messing in that sentence with a particular swear word that starts with the letter F.
Oh.
And then you can connect the dots there. Stuff you like, stuff you're really liking right now, and then maybe some music that is in the spotlight, but you don't really see the hype that surrounds it.
And I know you're a positive guy. I know you're a positive guy, but we need some hot takes here.
I know. I'm gonna try not to sugarcoat it for you guys, which goes against my my nature a little bit. But shoot, okay. Well, the past couple of days, I've had Sad Hunk by Bahamas on repeat. Actually, Aiden, I don't know if I sent that to you, but I was definitely going to, because I think you would really like it.
I heard his single off of that.
Oh, okay.
I forget what's the single called. Fire.
Fire?
The single is Fire, I'm saying. Like, it's fucking... Oh.
I was like, no, I don't think that's a song on, on the album.
Yeah, it's... But, the single was really good. I haven't listened to the full album yet, though. You're really liking it, though? Should I give it a listen?
Yeah, I'm really loving it.
So again, it's called Sad Hunk by Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so here, sorry, this is maybe a hot take. Folklore by Taylor Swift. I like.
Oh, that is the hottest of hot takes.
I'm sorry. I like, to be fair, when I listen to an album, I really give it a chance. I give it like one or two listens through, and that usually gives me time to be like, oh, hey, that's actually really interesting, or I really like this. But I just couldn't get there with Folklore. Also, all the track titles are with lowercase. Like
that's something I was about to point out.
What's up with that?
Well, actually, I think there's another album that does that, and I want to say it's Billie Eilish's album. When we go to sleep, where do we go? Or something.
Right.
It's almost like Taylor Swift's been famous just because she's taken other people's ideas.
I mean, it brings up the question, why do song titles need to be capitalized anyway?
Because it's a name.
It just looks nice. I just like how it looks.
I do think, though, that in music, in general, you want to do things that are different and push boundaries. I mean, not saying that not capitalizing letters is pushing boundaries.
Yeah, freaking...
But, like, in general, it's like... Going against the grain can be good.
I always thought about that. Like, if I were to release an album, the track list would be a sentence just with single words. I don't, has anybody, do you guys know any artists that's done that? I don't,
but not off the top of my head.
I'm sure someone's done it. I would be surprised if no one's done that.
I could see it being something that Childish Gambino would do.
Yeah, I could see that. He has that whole album of just like, oh God, what is it?
It's like the minutes and seconds, like the timestamp.
Yeah, that
on
one
on the track. Yeah,
which is very cool. Like,
yeah,
I like that. That album is severely underrated.
Is that album called?
Album's 3:15:20. It was like no hype around it. Nobody I know that talked about it. He dropped it randomly with no promotion. I think, who was it distributed by? I think it was distributed by, yeah, it was RCA. So it was big, like, but he didn't promote it at all like his other albums. And nobody talked about it. It's fire. It's so good.
So good answers to the question, writer. We love the hot takes. Taylor Swift and Bahamas. Not the Bahamas, just Bahamas.
But
yeah,
I didn't hear anything you didn't like.
Taylor Swift, dude.
Yeah. No, he said he liked Taylor Swift.
No.
Oh, Taylor Swift.
I don't hate Taylor Swift. I just like, I didn't get the hype on it. That's all.
Okay. I misheard that. I thought you would like it. That's why I was like, what a hot take, because that album sucks. That album's awful.
Okay.
That's funny. here's another question for your writer. When you show up to this is a Aiden question. Do you want to ask it, Aiden?
I don't know what question you're about to ask, my guy.
You can't read my mind?
I can't, sorry.
Not over Zoom.
When you show up to a party, what song do you want to hear being played?
That's a good question.
Did I ask it right, Aiden?
Oh my God, you did such a great job.
Thanks. Thank you.
This is one of those questions that, like, as soon as somebody asks you, your mind just like goes blank because you can't think of any songs.
Yeah. There might be so many and you somehow can't like pick one.
A song that would make me dance though, like just like on like the first chord.
Cotton Eye Joe. Cotton Eye Joe.
No, it's not Cotton Eye Joe. It's Helpless by John Mayer. The first time I heard that one, I was moved. Like literally, like my body was just like, I have to dance. So that would be, and I don't really like dancing at parties. I get like kind of freaked out, but I would absolutely dance if Helpless came on.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say Party in the USA.
Yeah, I mean, I would also love for that one to come on. And I would
I'm not gonna lie to you, if that song came on at a party, I would dance my ass off. I really would.
Yeah. I mean, I would too. And then Aiden, I think you got one more question.
Oh, I have questions on questions on questions. This is the preliminary list.
Oh, I'm sorry. I told Aiden, let's come up with five, and he sends me like 20.
Nice.
I just want to know, like, what artists have influenced your new album?
Yeah. Number one, I would say, is Yusuf Cat Stevens. I just grew up listening to him. I love like his voice. It just has like a bell clarity to it that when I started working on my voice, that was what I wanted to get out of it. So Yusuf Cat Stevens, Elton John as well. Like since I've been playing so much piano, I've been working on Tiny Dancer as kind of my benchmark vocal song as well. So he's probably a big influence on that one. And there's always like there's always a bit of kind of like John Mayer-y, something here, something there, because he's a pretty big guitar and songwriter influence of mine as well.
So I have some questions for you, Ryder, as a singer-songwriter. I want to know, what is your songwriting process? How is a Ryder J song born? And then what process do you go through before it is finally at its final revision?
Yeah, that's good. When I answer a question like this, I usually like to say that if I have like one good line and a nice melody, I can usually write the rest of the song. And I think that my best songs have been written over a period of like 3 to 5 days. So, you know, day one is, I'll just be like walking around or whatever, and I'll be thinking about this or that. And if I have a thought that I think is like phrased really well, or really like something interesting, like Yours for a Short Time, for example, that came to me as I was just thinking about like a past relationship and how just like kind of quickly it was over. Instead of thinking about like, oh, this thing is over and whatever, I was thinking about, oh, I was yours for a short time. And then with that kind of just like a different angle on it, I sort of took it from there, and I went kind of more forward looking, a little bit more optimistic, like, so to this like hypothetical woman who I'll meet in my future, I could be yours for a short time.
Interesting that you would be optimistic that it would be a short relationship.
Well, yeah, so it's not it's more of like if you think about like a relationship that you have with anybody, in the grand scheme of things, it's going to be a pretty short time. And like, even like, you know, my parents have been married for like 40 years, but you know, the human existence is so much longer than that. And like, it's about thinking that someday we're all gonna die, and I might as well enjoy something for a short time, as opposed to not at all.
That's a good kind of concept.
Looking at things, I guess, because even if you are in a relationship for a month, 2 months, or 3.5 years, or whatever, that you still had great times there. Yeah, the breakup sucks. Yeah, you have to live your life alone, or not alone, but away from that person, for pretty much ever. But you know that. You had fun. Well, it happened. Mm-hmm. So I like that.
Yeah, it's like, it reminds me of that lyric, and I'm curious if you guys can tell me who said this. In the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
I don't know that one.
All right.
I'm gonna guess it's the Beatles dude.
The Beatles dude.
it's Beatle from the Beatles.
Yeah.
Beatle.
Yeah, it's actually the song "The End" from Abbey Road.
Oh, I knew it. I mean,
Aiden.
You can bleep it out after.
Yeah, I'm just going to add a little beep. So you kind of talked about how a song that you write is born, and it kind of starts with like an interesting single lyric, and then you kind of go from there. But after you've kind of written a song, do you revise it, or is it usually like the first version of the song that you write kind of what you stick with, if that makes sense?
And usually that revision process is like kind of contained within those 3 to 5 days, sometimes not, but and I think like my approach to songwriting is it's about like saying what I want to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, and something that I think that I'm good at is like putting things into words mm-hmm. in a way that's like easy to understand. And what did you ask me again? Revision.
Revision. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, for me personally, like a song will see like three evolutions, like a Pokemon, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm curious if that's the case with you as well.
Yeah. It's usually not like crazy changes. It'll be, a line that I think doesn't express like the thought that I want very well, mm-hmm. and I'll just play with that until I have a better way to say what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Or like if it just doesn't kind of fit rhythmically in the line, maybe there's some way that I can say the same thing with fewer words, mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
Yeah, like this, there's just like too many syllables or something, so you need to change it. So
yeah,
I get it. Do you would you say that like lyrics are more important to you than the music, or is that like the thing that you care more about it, like your music?
I'm gonna go real meta here for a sec.
Okay.
And, go as meta as you want.
Yeah. So part of saying what I want to say is just manipulating language to express a thought. So it just on that, you could say, yeah, like lyrics are my main focus, mm-hmm. but also my approach to music. Like I really like to think about music as a language,
mm.
you know?
Yeah.
And if you think about it, like the music theory is like your grammar and syntax, and it allows you to express a thought with like melody and harmony and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So saying what I want to say is not just a lyrical thing. It's mm. also, a harmonic thing for me. So like they're both very important. And like, if I do come up with that first line, the line is by itself, like isn't a song until I have a melody that also expresses that thought for me.
Right. Right. Nice. I like that answer.
Thank you.
So I'm curious what you learned from the process of recording and releasing music for the first time, and also what you might do differently next time.
Yeah, that's a good question. I've kind of been asking myself the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the recording process for this one was basically I had just written these couple songs, and I hit up my friend Sean Dami, who I also know through BVP. Yeah,
he's actually a past president of yeah. this club.
Yeah, so he produces music, and he has like a really professional approach and all of that. So I hit him up. I said, hey, I've written these couple songs. Do you want to produce them for me? And he wrote me back. He's like, hell yeah. And we recorded them just in his kind of basement studio, which for my purposes was more than adequate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't out to do anything crazy like in a studio or anything like that. I just had these songs that I wanted to share with the world and do it as kind of as quickly as I could.
Mm-hmm.
I think moving forward, if I were to record again, I might save up and shell out for a studio just maybe to get that experience. And also
is that sorry.
Oh,
is that like a post-COVID goal, or is that like you want to do in a month, 2 months kind of thing?
No, that's a little ways down the road, because I think the next thing that I would want to do is like record a whole album. which I want to call All My Songs.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hypothetical name for the album, based on a lyric from another song I've written.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a little ways down the road, because I want to write a lot of songs and then pick the best ones for that.
You might say you want to write all your songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should come out with an album that's just like greatest hits.
That
greatest hits album.
Funny you should say that, Aiden. Ryder and I, the band we have, Christ Alrighty, we're in the midst of recording an album, and it's going to be called The Best of Christ Alrighty.
Rest in peace to Christ. Rest in peace to Christ Alrighty.
Yeah.
That's a sad story. You guys want to talk about how that's going, or?
Ryder, do you want to talk about it?
I mean, so COVID has obviously put quite a strain on us as a band. We were playing a bunch of shows last year.
We played a lot of shows. We had 1 week we played 3 shows or something like that. Yeah, right?
That was crazy.
You're always a crowd favorite. Always.
Yeah, we played 15 shows I think last year, between January when we formed and the following January.
Yeah, it was our first year as a band. That's a good track record.
Yeah. But I think,
I don't know if it's a track record, but you know.
Oh yeah. But yeah, it was good for us.
Actually,
personal best.
The week,
personal best, yeah.
The week that we played those 3 shows in a row, like five or six days before that week, I had my wisdom teeth removed,
right?
And so that was a fun experience. I wasn't, you know, sure. Go ahead.
You know what the cool thing about that week where we played those 3 shows was, like, it was obviously like really tiring for us.
Yeah.
You know, super super just like hectic and all over the place because we had school and everything as well, but our first show was like pretty good, our second show was like even better, and by the time we got to our third show that week, we were just like so locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember feeling that way as well, or?
No, honestly, I don't.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Remember. I don't even remember what the shows were.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that happens with like regular bands as well, or like touring musicians?
Totally.
For sure.
Like, I totally understand now why like musicians on tour will say the wrong city's name when they are, sometimes, you know, because
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
But I think things are coming to an end though with the band's kind of, we're working on an album and that might be our last project, mm-hmm. unfortunately. We'll see what the future holds, but that's the way
things look. Nothing's written in stone, but it seems more and more like we're all moving in different directions and different stages of life.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, it was really good while it lasted,
and
yours keep, for a short time, you could say.
Exactly. It was ours.
And actually, going back to your songs you released, do you want to maybe talk about the other song and we'll play it?
Yeah. So this is the B-side for my release, titled "So I Won't Float Away." And this one, the other one is like a pretty like acoustic guitar forward, and you can really hear more of the Cat Stevens in Yours for a Short Time. And then this one is I wrote it on the piano, so that's kind of the featured instrument in this one. The reason that I paired these two songs is I think that they're both kind of comments on the same theme of like being like wanting to fall in love but also having to be like socially distanced.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of a a frustrating place to be in. Mm-hmm. And this one is kind of the more like a little bit more of a hopeless approach.
Mm-hmm.
Still pretty like there's still elements of optimism, but it's a little bit kind of more somber and sad boy.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, here it is. So I won't float away.
Sleeping on one side, wishing I had someone to lay next to. Going with the flow is easy when you know which way the river goes. Tonight I surrender to the tide. So I would float away while I am dreaming. But if the tide should take me, I'll feel better if I know you'll still be there in the morning when I wake. My shoulder, if you love me. I know just 'cause something's pretty doesn't mean it's made of gold. But I know a sweetheart when I kiss one. Hold my hand so I won't float away while I am dreaming. Time should take me, I'll feel better if I know you'll still be there in the morning when I wake. This time last year I was falling in love. The women in my dreams telling me something, but I don't know what. This time last year I was falling in love. Falling is for certain, and I'm wishing just to be caught. This time last year I was falling in love. And I'm being patient, I'll be ready for love when it comes. And when the tide will take me, I'll feel better, 'cause I'll know you'll still be here in the morning. And I wait. Hold my hand so I float away while I am dreaming. And when the tide will take me, I'll be ready, 'cause I'll know you'll still be here in the morning when I wake. Thank you.
What a nice song that is.
any more questions you got in?
I'm out of questions. But
I thought you had questions upon questions.
No, I was just joking. But we can always.
We never really got to your top three artists.
Yeah, I did want to ask that. I thought we would find a time in this, but we've been actually vibing and not having to use the questions too much.
I think now's a good time to ask.
For sure.
All right.
Top three. And if these are going to be your top three for life, so really think about this. Yeah. You can never, ever change your answer after you answer.
All your artists.
Yeah, we are going to call them and tell them, and everyone that you don't say will also call them and tell them that you didn't choose them. So,
and because Blank Vinyl Project has a huge budget this year, you're getting three tattoos of their names on your chest.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Yeah.
That'd be sick. Okay, so I think number one, and this is just based on like personal influence and growing up, everything is Yusuf Cat Stevens, who I mentioned earlier. His music is just like soundtrack to my childhood. My parents loved him and I love him, and just such a beautiful songwriter. Number two is Nick, this is gonna be no surprise, but Mark Knopfler. right, like Mark Knopfler, he was the front man in Dire Straits and then had just like a fantastic solo career after that. Really well known for his kind of like claw hammer finger style picking technique. And when I was like first learning to play guitar, Sultan's a Swing is the song that I say taught me to play guitar. Because I started learning it when I picked up the guitar at 14, and then I'm still trying to perfect it at 23, almost 10 years later. So definitely Mark Knopfler. My number three.
Don't say Miley Cyrus.
I love Miley Cyrus, but she doesn't quite earn the spot in the top three.
Doesn't quite earn the chest tattoo spot.
No, I might get a chest tattoo anyways.
Well, I mean, that's it. I'm calling Miley Cyrus right now to tell her she didn't make the cut.
Man, that's it's such a tough question. I had those two ready, but the third one, honestly, probably John Mayer.
You know what? John Mayer is famous for a reason.
He's such a good guitarist and like just so damn cool. I would have maybe liked to have a bit more diversity in my top three, but
just three white dudes, hey?
Yeah, three white dudes. Yusuf Islam is he is white, but he's Muslim at least.
He's Muslim, but he's white.
Yeah. Anyways, but you know what, I stand by those top three. They're really good. They're important to me.
I think we're almost done. Anything you got, Aiden?
Ryder, do you want to shout out your socials where people can follow you?
Oh yeah, good idea. I mean, Instagram is kind of my main one. You can follow me at RyderDude4. Same handle since I made my first email at age like, I don't know, 8 or whatever. at RyderDude4.
Yeah.
That's my Instagram. But you can also go look me up at RyderJMusic.com. That's where I have my blog as well if you're interested in reading my writing and